everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, episode 57.
And a half.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks since we've done an episode, a busy month for people, and we just need a little recharge our batteries, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know, like the way Matt has to recharge his woman's batteries
guys,
now.
I got an energizer battery. Boom, 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 boom.
This is your host, Mark. Did I give you permission to introduce yourself? Apparently I talk too much.
I just
wanted to interrupt you. I was like, man, Mark's got a good stride going on. Let me just put my foot out there and.
Wait, you wanted to put your foot in the stride?
Yep. That's exactly.
Yeah,
exactly
so Frank and Matt hanging in the studio. And it's been kind of a. You get into August, things kind of slow down with news-wise after Comic-Con, and not much going on. The summer movies season's winding down, and it's been in theaters a couple weeks, and we're going to kick off our talk with a little bit about Suicide Squad and our initial thoughts on it. We're also going to talk about the Star Wars Rogue One trailer, the Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders trailer, and we're going to talk a little bit things that have to do with the 1980s, since Stranger Things has been very popular on Netflix. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit about that, too. But Suicide Squad. A lot has been made about the DC film universe so far. None of their films have blown things out of the water for people. Me, personally, I really like Man of Steel. I think Batman vs. Superman is better than people gave it credit for, especially the Ultimate Cut.
Yep.
I was pretty disappointed with Suicide Squad. It felt to me like a bunch of cool scenes poorly edited together with a very weak villain. Some good performances. Margot Robbie was good as Harley Quinn. Will Smith was good as Deadshot. In 2016, we should not have a character that should be CGI look like a man in a suit, and I'm referring to Killer Croc. There were times where it looked bad on screen. That's my personal opinion. And I also thought that the Joker was the worst one I've ever seen. I hated Jared Leto as a Joker. Couldn't stand him. I didn't like the sadomasochism mobster version of him. The poorly manufactured laugh, like they recorded it in another studio, then they put it over the film. It didn't even come out naturally as laugh. I don't think the film's as bad as critics make it out to be. It's like 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's more 45-50%. I think it's a middle-of-the-road film. Mm-hmm. I just think when you have a film that at Comic-Con last year in 2015, we got a trailer for it, which means you had a lot of footage done. So you had a year to properly edit a film together. And that's what you came out with, a bunch of scenes that were really cool but put together to me very poorly and with a weak plot. And I just think it should have been a better product than it was with a year to release it.
So have we...
What's sad is they killed off the one character I liked. Like, the one character I actually wanted to like.
Well, yeah, I understand
like
the point in Slipknot even being in the film. Is that who you're referring to?
Diablo.
Oh, Diablo.
I like Diablo.
Yeah, and that was
the whole redemption character that he realized his mistakes with what he did to his family, and he didn't want to be that person anymore. But then he figured he would actually stand up for a greater good with his power.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight scene between him and the god-like
brother,
voodoo, whatever creature that was, that was actually pretty cool. I thought that was like one of the better fight scenes amongst like here in all the hero realms of like Marvel, DC, whatever, as far as like two characters one-on-one type battle. You know, I'm not talking about the big airport scenes and, you know, Captain America, Winter Soldier, 3.45, whatever it was.
And then there are like a lot of plot holes in the film. There's a scene where we're introduced to these creatures that the Enchantress is creating. They seemingly can be taken out with their heads chopped off, bullets or whatever. Then later on, they make a statement where they refer to these unstoppable creatures. But yet, you just had a scene where you stopped them. I was like, what?
Yeah.
It was very confusing. The whole Amanda Waller thing, I guess if you read comics, we all know she's bad. She runs Argus and all that. But she sort of comes out of nowhere with her own agendas, so to speak. And it's like there's no play up to her. Why is she here? Where's she from? They could have given her a small part in Batman vs. Superman just to explain what she's doing there.
Well, it's whenever you start trying to develop characters and have all these different plots.
Too many
going
characters
around,
in the film.
And you set yourself a time limit. It's just, it's too ambitious.
Yeah.
And that's what the film was. They're trying to catch up on, you know, I know we're not supposed to compare it to Marvel, but you know, I'm going to compare it to Marvel. Marvel started laying out the blueprints and the footwork in these little character films. You know, and you had a film for each character, and they were able to bring these guys together. Well, now people want to see all these DC characters together, and DC's trying to force it to make it happen.
But the thing is, though, is let's be honest. Suicide Squad is a bunch of C characters. They're characters that follow up on other...
A few B-listers in there.
Yeah,
B-listers.
Maybe, but yeah, but for the most part, it's C-listers. It's characters that ride the coattails of other characters.
I think Harley is Joker big enough to be considered A-list now.
Yeah.
You know. Especially Joker.
And if they didn't try and character develop or show a little backstory, and they just say, hey, this is the Suicide Squad, this is what they are, and they just didn't spend any time on, like, backstory, and just let the movie play out, and like an Avengers movie, you know? They're not trying to show...
Hey, these were bad guys.
Yeah.
This is what they do now. You know,
I think
situation.
The DC film universe is not so far back that it can't recover. I mean, what we've seen in the Wonder Woman Justice League trailer so far, really good. But I think the biggest mistake they've made is when you're kicking off a universe like this, you should have taken your two biggest characters. You should have done a Man of Steel film, then did a Batman film. The Batman film could have introduced Joker and Harley in it, and maybe even Amanda Waller and Argus, and kind of gotten the ball rolling.
Even Deadshot.
Then you could have had Batman vs. Superman in there, and then Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't even need all these smaller films like Marvel did. You could have just done your two biggest characters first in their own films, then have them join up and turn it into a mini trilogy between Man of Steel, Batman, and Batman vs. Superman, and I think it would have rolled in a lot better. Then go into Suicide Squad. But the biggest problem, I think, with Suicide Squad is what you said, are just too many characters in the film. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work well. You had characters in there like Slipknot was pointless just to show that they could kill one of them. I felt very little Captain Boomerang, other than the Flash cameo. There wasn't a whole lot of reason for him to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, Killer Croc, even himself, other than helping with the bomb at the end, what was the point of him being in it? Mm-hmm. You could have done a Task Force X Suicide Squad film with just Harley, Joker, Deadshot, and Diablo, and kept it more focused, you know, and Rick Flagg. Rick Flagg is important to Suicide Squad since he's in
that
the comics.
Character. Yeah, I did the actor that played the part.
And I'm starting to see why Tom Hardy backed out of the film. You know, he was originally going to play Rick Flagg. And Hardy's a smart enough actor that I think he read the script and said, you know, I don't think you'll have a very good film in your hand. There's always something to be said when actors back out of film sometimes, especially guys like Tom Hardy that make really good films.
So are we ready to hit the button to bring back Jack Nicholson as the Joker?
No.
No?
No. Okay. Maybe the Joker's grandfather.
I think Leto, maybe in some ways I'm unfair that he wasn't given enough to do in this film, and maybe down the road he'll grow on me.
Yeah, but people...
But I just wasn't a fan of his
Joker. But people
Joker.
Dog him for, what, 5 scenes in less than 10 minutes on the screen?
Yeah, but man, I felt like he was trying to be Heath Ledger the whole time. Did you get that feeling?
No, not really. I think he was so far trying not to be Keith Ledger is maybe what the problem was.
If I told you that in an interview, he said he was trying to be Heath Ledger.
He might say that, but I think he wasn't. Because you can't.
I felt
Heath
he
Ledger.
Was trying to be a little bit like a mix of Heath and his own, but it didn't quite come together right.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny. When I saw Batman vs. Superman, we're ranking movies out of 10. Initially, I thought it was maybe a 6.5. It wasn't great. The ultimate cut for me for Batman vs. Superman jumped it to about 7.5, almost an 8. I thought the ultimate cut was much better.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it.
For Suicide Squad, I just, middle of the road, I have to say 5 out of 10, 50%. I just can't go higher than that.
I didn't hate it.
It was entertaining. It had entertaining scenes, but it just, so much potential there wasted. You know, that's how I kind of felt with it. You know, it could have been a better, solid film. And the best part of it, I know, Frank, you mentioned on the show before about the overabundance of Harley Quinn and getting a little tired of her. Margot Robbie was excellent. I couldn't even see anyone else playing Harley.
Once I saw the movie, it wasn't so bad. Once I saw the movie, it wasn't so bad.
She's fantastic, and she makes white makeup look hot.
Yeah, a lot of chicks make white makeup.
I mean, all dressed in white like that.
Oh, I mean, like, what, pale skin?
Yeah.
Have you not watched iZombie? The chick that plays like a zombie on iZombie is pretty hot.
But she's not Margot Robbie.
No.
Yeah, but she's still a pretty dang hot. Pasty white chick.
So next for DC is Wonder Woman next year, And we'll see where their universe goes. Obviously, Warner Brothers has a lot invested in it.
And why are we having to wait all the way until next year?
I think that bringing Geoff Johns in to be the overall president of DC Films is going to help. And we'll see where it goes from here. I don't know.
I've really liked the trailers for Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I don't like the cut trailer as much that they showed in theaters. I like the trailer from Comic-Con where it had more dialogue.
Yeah.
The cut trailer with just action and music just seemed kind of like... It felt like it was missing. You know, the Comic-Con trailer is better. I understand why they had to cut the trailer for theaters.
I already knew they were going
to
make Wonder Woman a badass, but, like, the trailers really make her look like a badass. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she is that warrior queen, you know, character. And I'm not going to call her a princess because she ain't no princess. She's a queen.
I'm going to stick with the DC Universe. I want to see where it goes. Not ready to quit it yet.
Now, I did have one problem with the whole thing. It wasn't like the movie itself as part of it. Is that I think they kind of jumped the gun on releasing the Justice League trailer. They should have waited till after the movie, because that whole scene after, like, during the credits where it cuts back and they're in the restaurant and she hands them the files for the other Justice League characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of pointless once the trailer came out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was no surprise. It's always...
Not really, because...
That little extra stuff's always supposed to be like a little
I don't think so,
surprise.
Because people knew the Justice League movie was coming anyway, so I don't think it really...
Didn't seem like as a big of a deal because the trailer was already released.
And to an extent, he already had the file from Batman vs. Superman looking at the other characters they stole from Lex.
You know, but so I mean, either way, the extra stuff.
You know. So we're going to stay with DC, though, for a moment. And, man... We had heard rumors last year that Adam West and Burt Ward at a convention said they were voicing characters for an animated Batman film based on the 1966 television series. And that was it. Warner Brothers never really confirmed it. We never heard anything else. All of a sudden this week, we get a trailer for Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders. And man, does this look like a lot of fun. You know, it's going to... I mean, for me and Frank and Matt, I don't know, what was your first Batman?
Your first Batman, Keaton? It was Adam West.
Was it?
But it was the movie. The shark?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people saw the movie first because it aired on television a lot.
Yep.
For me, I think my first Batman was Super Friends. But I think my first live-action Batman was definitely Adam West.
Yeah.
And, man, the trailer is kind of funny. It's kind of fun. It throws you back immediately into that era. And this should be a hell of a good animated film. A lot of fun. And it's kind of cool they're doing this. And I'm excited about it. I hope they do more. I hope it's successful. Wouldn't it be cool to have a whole line of animated films based on the Batman classic series?
That would be a different look than what we've become accustomed to. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be cheesy, but it'll be fun. And maybe he'll fight a shark again.
I would love to see some shark repellent.
Who doesn't want, like, Robin making the whole... Holy crap, Batman, whatever, lines.
And they're also bringing back, what's her name, to do the voice of Catwoman.
Her.
They haven't announced the voices for Joker, Penguin, or the other or the Riddler yet, because they've all passed away. So hopefully they can find someone that can channel Cesar Romero very well. And Burgess Meredith's Penguin is classic.
I think we're going to have to bring in the McDonald.
Let's be honest, he is the Penguin. Yeah. There will never be a different Penguin.
Maybe Ronald McDonald could come in and be Cesar Romero.
I'm already scared of that clown.
He's creepy.
He gives kids diabetes. That's his evil power.
Diabetes.
So that's kind of cool. And then the other big trailer that's come out since last we talked was switching gears from Warner Brothers and DC to the Disney family is... We got a full trailer for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I still don't like that subtitle, A Star Wars Story. I liked it better when they were calling it Star Wars Anthology.
Call it Rogue One and leave it at that.
Or just Star Wars Rogue One. What's wrong with
that?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
It reminds me of
like a Christmas story.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you have these rogues that are going to come up and be like, I want to rule the galaxy like we used to.
Don't
shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get it. Maybe we'll get another Christmas special.
Maybe.
But man, this trailer fixed a lot of things that people were worried about the first trailer. We got to see the scope of the film more. Everyone thought, it's just a heist film. How much can you do with it? It looks like there's quite a scope to this, that it feels like a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
I really like...
Still has that same look on her face.
Donnie Yen's Donnie Yen's character of like a guy who is not a Jedi but follows the ways of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his line in there, I do as the Force wills it. You know, and he's taking out stormtroopers, looks like he's kind of blind. The spaceships over the planet. It almost looks like a Battlefront movie in some ways, you know?
Yeah. Especially that poster that came out before this trailer.
Yeah.
That made it look like Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah. obviously, it's Star Wars, so we're excited for it. But this trailer has me more excited. I'm still curious how the guy in the white robe, I'm wondering if it's Moff Tarkin, and it's just, obviously they had to hire a different actor, or who he is. That's the curious part. And then the big reveal at the end of the trailer. I mean, we get to see the man himself, his helmet. Darth Vader, of course, is in Rogue One. And, I heard some people complain about that. They felt like it was with Civil War where they shouldn't have revealed Spider-Man. I don't have a problem with it, especially the way they did it. They just, it's like they teased you just enough.
Yeah.
And you already pretty much knew he was going
to
be.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go to the strip club and she just barely shows you your boop.
I mean, he was in charge of hunting down the plans and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't reveal how much he's in the movie. It could be like, literally, that could be the scene that he's in.
It could be the end, and they're like, Vader, something has happened. And he's like,
right. That'd be literally, that scene that you see him in could be like the only scene you see him in the whole movie.
Yeah, and
it's not like he's going to fight. There's not like a lot of Jedi for him to walk.
No, they said there's no lightsabers in the movie. I know, so we won't see Darth Vader ignite his lightsaber. I'm really excited, like the AT-ATs on the beach. That just looks so cool, And the Rebels fighting against it. I'm excited for this film now more than I was after the first trailer. The first trailer was kind of like you said, it felt like real kind of her look on her face. And
it was like pissed off like, about everything.
I rebel. The line was kind of like, out of context. But this trailer looks much cooler. Looks like they have to go in deep. They even look like they have the dresses Imperials to get in there and steal the plans. And I hope it comes out well. So far, Disney's doing a pretty good job with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Just call it Star Wars Rogue One. And I don't like the rumors that there won't be a crawl. They said there might not be a crawl before the film because it's not an episode. Why can't you still have a crawl?
What?
You can still have a crawl. That doesn't have to say Star Wars episode, whatever. It can just say Star Wars Rogue One and do an opening crawl. That's part of going to the movie theater is when that fanfare starts and Star Wars comes on the screen.
Yes.
And it better have the damn Star Wars
and
music.
And you get those butterflies in your stomach,
Floating paragraphs in space.
And then it pans. It pans. You got to pan. If there's no panning, no scroll, no panning, then it's not a Star Wars film. I don't give a shit if it says Star Wars on the front of the logo of it.
I'm pretty sure Disney will listen to the fans on that and there will end up being a crawl in front
of it. Why wouldn't I say, in a time of great blah, 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 a rogue whatever was sent to blah, 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 blee, blah, 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 scroll too damn fast for me to read because I'm a slow-ass reader. Then I'll have to
Frank never
DVD
gets the Star Wars crawls. 20 years after the movie, he's still reading the episode 4 crawl. Yeah. A New Hope. Slow down.
Slow down. Pause it.
Princess Leia did what?
Pause it.
So by the time Frank's 80, he'll get to episode 7. Right. Force Awakens crawl. Oh, that's what's going on.
That's what happens when That's what happens when you have to teach yourself how to read. School system sucks.
It's 30 years after Return of the Jedi. I never knew that back in 2015. It was 30 years after. I was wondering why Luke was so old.
I just thought he aged really bad.
Luke, you look horrible.
Speaking of, episode 8 is in the editing room. Rian Johnson released a photo yesterday beginning editing of the film. So I expect a lot of episode 8 news in the next few months. Probably a title. I wouldn't be surprised to get the first trailer by Christmas. We had the first Force Awakens trailer Christmas before.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we'll get an Episode 8 trailer really soon. We're getting a Star Wars movie every year the next 6 years. I think that's pretty awesome.
It's exciting.
Yeah. As long as they keep doing them good.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. So why not?
I don't think I'll get as burnt out with the Star Wars as I might with the superhero stuff. It's not like you're getting burnt out with the superhero stuff because you're getting it from DC and Marvel coming at you from both directions.
Yeah.
Whereas Star Wars, there is nothing really out there to compare Star Wars to.
Right. Like we said before,
Star Trek, but that's totally same but different in that sense. It's like they don't have that same vibe. They're like their own thing. You don't have characters fighting with lightsabers or anything like that. It's like you do two different brands fighting with superpowers and gadgets.
Well, we said before, Star Wars has become its own genre.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like even though you have Star Trek as far as space stuff, it's not the same.
And I'm going to go ahead and tease something that me and Matt have been throwing an idea around. We haven't told you yet, Frank. Not that, just because most of what we've talked about in the evenings when you're sleeping. There might be a Star Wars announcement coming through Rebel Radio, and trust me, I'm a Jedi.com very soon. possibly a...
We're going to be on in a Star Wars
no,
movie?
Possibly a new show idea me and Matt are throwing around.
Oh.
So,
okay. Well, I don't give a shit if I'm not going to be in the movie.
You know, and but that's just a tease. So Star Wars Rogue One, that's what I'm going to call it. I'm not calling it Rogue One, Star Wars Story.
A lot, especially under the table.
The other big thing lately, there ain't nothing going on underneath this recording table, okay?
Actually, literally, there is. There's like a wall between.
Stranger Things, been big hit on Netflix. Been out about a month now. Matt, have you watched any of it yet?
I haven't.
Dude, you're an idiot. It's so awesome.
I need to.
I'm not as high on it as Frank is. I know everyone's really loving the show. It's very 1980s nostalgia. If you've seen it by now, it's about a group of kids that their friend goes missing, and then they run into this girl who has a mystery behind her, and they all go on a journey to find her friend.
His friend.
Their friend,
I should say.
And it deals with a supernatural dimension and all this, and very 80s in the music, the nostalgia of it, the feel of it, the old houses with the brown paneling in the walls.
Right.
The corduroy couches and things like
nobody
that.
Nobody using cell phones to call
each
other.
No cell phones, the hairdos, the outfits. The sheriffs are smoking, you know, back in the 80s, things like that.
In buildings.
The kids are great in the show. That's probably the best part of the show is how good these children are. It's a lot of fun. I'm not quite as high on it as everyone else because I think that some of the 80s stuff is a little too in your face. It's like, I get it. But by the time you get to the fourth to fifth episode, you don't have to keep reminding me that it takes place in the 1980s. And that's just kind of felt maybe they could have backed off on that a little bit.
How do you back off the 1980s?
I didn't have a problem with the music or any of that because it went with the time. It's very much borrows from
like
a lot of
font.
Stuff. A lot's been made
total
of the 80s
font.
There's actually an app online now where you can make fonts. I should go in there and make a Rebel Radio font out of it.
The font's actually pretty cool. Because other things are doing it now.
It's a really fun show. There are a lot of unanswered questions on the first season. And although they haven't confirmed a second season yet, everyone knows it's probably coming, that Netflix will announce
it. Yeah, of course
it.
They'll do it. But it's not. I don't see it based around the same characters.
It's going totally to be. Different. They've already said it will be.
But it just doesn't make sense to base it around the same characters.
They left a lot open on it.
Yes,
we don't know what happened to Barb.
Doesn't matter.
You know, yeah, it does. Everybody liked Barb. She was the conscience of the friends. She told her friend not to go up there and screw that guy, basically. You know? Mm-hmm. So we got to have Barb.
She's dead.
No, she's not. She could be in the Upside Down.
No, she's dead.
They never said that.
Didn't you not see the sheriff find her body? Like, they found her body. She's dead.
No, the Duffer brothers who created this have come out and said, we know what happened to Barb, and we'll reveal
she
it later.
Was dead because
they never
showed
said
her
the Duffer
body.
Brothers never said she was dead.
It looked like her,
you know,
so pretty much assumed she
I'm
was
going
dead.
What the director said, okay. So, but it's
sorry, Matt, that we're spoiling the crap out of you.
No,
you should
okay.
still watch it.
Yeah, it's only 8 episodes, so it's a quick watch. I mean,
literally, it is.
We blew through it pretty quickly in about a week, you know.
I went to my cousin's house literally Friday night. He tells me, no, is it Saturday, Friday or Saturday? He tells me, have you watched this? And I said, no, I've been meaning to. So I get up Sunday morning before everybody else. I turn on Netflix. I watch the first episode. Start watching the second episode. Everybody's up by then, so I have to turn it off. My wife and I get home Sunday night. We burn through 4 episodes and then burn the other 4 episodes the following night.
And then one thing I liked in it was the creature. It was like they do a good job, very 1980s style, of not showing you the creature for a long time. Like, remember the old 1980s horror movies, you used to not see the bad guy
shadows
or creature until the
creature.
End of the film. Mm-hmm. And they do that in Stranger Things. They really make you wait a long time for you to get a good look at them. And then I kept telling my wife, I was like, man, it looks like the creatures in The Last of Us. Then I read an interview where the Duffer brothers admitted that they were influenced by The Last of Us in creating the creature. I was like, I fucking knew it. It looks like the creatures from The Last of Us, which, if you haven't played The Last of Us, is one of the best video games I've played in the last 5
yes.
years. And, you know, it's kind of horror survival thing.
I put it in my top 4 of games.
And the creature looks a lot like that movie or that video game. And so the Stranger Things... just a really cool thing. Something different. I mean, we're getting a lot of the same... Like you said, we're talking about the superhero genre, and you get a lot of TV shows on Netflix. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage is coming here in a few weeks. All really good superhero shows, but it was nice to have something different. And I think that's where Stranger Things works really well. It's something we haven't seen in a while. And here, almost 30 years since the 1980s, it was just good timing for it. People our age, me and Franks and some other friends that remember the 80s era, I'm more towards the end of it.
Basically.
It brought us back to some of those old shows we watched in memories. And so if you haven't watched Stranger Things yet or been hesitant about it, take the time to watch it. It's only 8 episodes, and you'll enjoy it. And it's fairly kid-friendly. There's some dialogue maybe that's PG.
I don't know. Like, what would you say? Because it is kind of scary for kids.
I was going to say that. I'm working on it, but you kind of interrupted me.
Of course.
There's some dialogue in it that maybe is a little adult and some scary moments, but it's maybe PG-15, 16. It's not rated R.
Yeah, I wouldn't say 13.
You have some teenage kids in the room, it'll be okay for them to watch. They'll enjoy it. So, that's Stranger Things on Netflix, and that's going to take us into some things we want to talk about today. We're going to talk about the 1980s a little bit.
Matt, I know you weren't swimming around in your dad's sack yet, were you? I don't know. How old are you? When were you born?
86.
He was mid-80s.
So barely.
And, the 80s has a certain stigma about it, because it's very much it's becoming the new 1970s, because the styles of it are coming back. You're seeing girls with the shorts on again and getting their hairs permed again and things like that. And
wearing the shorts up to their stomach.
Yeah, the belly button. The cutoff workout shorts where you can see their sports bra underneath.
Yep.
It's all starting to come back. The 80s are making a little bit of a comeback.
Now they just need the leg calf warmers.
I'm sorry, but leave some of that new wave music in the 80s. I didn't like some of that shit, And the 80s also had a lot of really unique films. And I'm not talking about the big films like Top Gun and Aliens, the ones that made money. I'm talking about the smaller films that now are becoming like these cult classic hits,
Tango
like
and Rad.
Cash. Rad.
That you can't find no damn place.
Rad.
On DVD, dumbass.
Big Trouble, Little China, of course, is probably the biggest one.
Well, I'm with Frank here. I'm going to think about these extreme sports films. Rad and Thrashing are the two that stick out.
But you can get Thrashing out of it.
What year did Gleaming the Cube come out? Was that 80s?
Or I think
was that
so,
early
yeah.
90s?
Maybe early 90s.
Because I remember
80s.
You know what? That's why we have
Internet
Google. To look up these things like that, Like Gleaming the Cube, and if I can find the damn thing.
You could argue that Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back is also an 80s film.
Well,
an 80s action film.
Yeah, but that's why I was saying, not the bigger films, because we know all those films.
We're talking about the films that got big once they got on VHS.
What's
some even beta?
What is a VHS, Frank, for those listeners that don't know?
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
right?
Okay. It's like this tape, and I'm not talking about the kind you like stick stuff to, but it was in this big square plastic casing, and it had really bad picture because you had to sit there and hit a thing called a track button constantly to get it in focus and not have waves through it. So you spend like at least the first 30 minutes of the film, or at least it felt like it, didn't get it taken care of during the
That was before
scene.
They came out with the Hi-Fi VHS, and you didn't have to track it as much.
Yeah.
Which was the equivalent of high definition now, back then.
Right. Hey,
I wasn't literally meaning for you to describe everything VHS.
But let's be honest. Like, at the time for kids, that was awesome because our parents didn't take us to a lot of movies that our parents didn't want to see.
And Gleaming the Cube was 1989, so technically it was an 80s cult classic. Yeah. The 80s were also a time where Stranger Things is influenced by, like, a lot of cult horror films. Leprechaun.
Leprechaun.
Chud.
Jennifer Aniston was in Leprechaun.
I hated Leprechaun, but I love Chud.
I love Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun, though.
You just like Jennifer Aniston. Let's be honest.
Killer, who doesn't? Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Ooh. That was wicked.
What else?
Oh, They Live? Have y'all ever seen that?
Yeah,
That's
They
freaky.
Live. What else, man? There's a lot of good ones from the 80s that were like these cult classic horror films. I mean, Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street are two arguably the most popular ones from that era.
Oh, they are the most popular horror films, I think, of all time, to be honest with you.
Is Reanimator from 80s? I want to say Reanimator
I think it is. Probably 86?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it's an 86.
It's 1985 was Reanimator.
That was close.
And then they had the sequel years later, Beyond Reanimator, but it came out like in the 2000s.
Isn't that one on Netflix?
And they had The Bride of Reanimator.
Really?
Oh,
there was that?
But let's not forget, of course, Hellraisers.
The Hellraiser films.
God. Which actually I proposed to Jackie during Hellraiser.
Well, that makes a lot
Hellraiser
of sense.
Hellraiser scared the shit out of me when I watched it
for some reason.
Yeah. It's based on a book, Clive Barker's novel, The Hellbound Heart. And it was actually Stephen King that said, "I've seen the future of horror," and it is Clive Barker. So Clive Barker made something that scared Stephen King. So And you know that that's a good film.
It might be weird because I would never like rotate it or do it or even try to open the damn thing, but I would like just have one of the cubes.
Oh my God, no.
Just to have it like in a display case or something. I wouldn't even like open it.
Get that away, man. Cenobites.
Because I would be afraid that it might actually do something.
And other than horror, sci-fi. There are a lot of cheesy sci-fi. Of course, one we've talked about on the show many times, Flash Gordon.
Yes.
Came out in 1980.
Buckaroo Banzai.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, I was going to say. Which is fixed and come out on Blu-ray finally. And two of my personal favorites are The Last Starfighter and Enemy Mine.
Yes.
Both 80s films that have gained a cult classic. Enemy Mine, you still can't get on Blu-ray except for a limited edition, very expensive version. Of course, The Last Starfighter might be one of my... If I had to pick five 80s films that weren't Indiana Jones or Star Wars, I think Last Starfighter is in my top five easily.
Just because it's fun.
You know, it's such a fun movie. It involved video games and playing video games and everything you loved about the 80s, you know, getting caught looking at Playboy magazine. There's a scene in there with that. You know, it's just like, have you seen The Last Starfighter, Matt?
No, I haven't.
Man,
it sounds like a good movie.
One of these things we have to educate, Matt. Last Starfighter, you can find it in the Blu-ray bins at Walmart for like $7.
My 80s. Probably even on Netflix.
My 80s
No, it's
movies,
not, unfortunately.
Oh, of course, you know what's in my 80s
I'm getting
movies.
To action films here in a second. I know, Matt, that's where Matt's thing is going to live.
Terminators.
The Terminator is the classic 80s sci-fi film.
Commando.
Of course, Aliens, that's not science fiction.
Sorry, we're on science fiction.
Slow down,
I'm
Arnold.
Slowing down.
Okay.
Get a little excited.
Oh, here's some more cult classics. American Ninja.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, we talked about, remember on our one show where we talked about the Electric Boogaloo and the Canon films. They did those American Ninja films. Canon was the maker of the 80s schlock action films. They did the Delta Force films.
They were the 80s.
Yeah, basically. The Delta Force films, the American Ninja.
Breaking 1 and 2,
of course,
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger came along in the 80s with Terminator, and of course, Matt just mentioned Commando, which was one that...
Which I'm going...
It's classic 80s action film in Commando. The 80s also gave us...
The Fly?
The remake of The Fly. Yeah, the original was in the 50s.
I find the original more freaky than the remake.
Really?
Yes.
More freaky than Jeff Goldblum snapping a guy's arm
in
half?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the old black and white's more impressive.
Dune?
Dune, I think, is a acquired taste.
The movie was okay. I was more of a fan of the TV series, but Alien Nation, I think, was in the 80s movie.
Alien Age was, I think it was late 80s. E.T., of course, was in the 80s.
Yeah, 84.
We just had a recent...
84?
Yeah, E.T.? Just had a recent remake of the Ghostbusters, which, of course, the original was in the 80s. We were talking about horror. We completely forgot Gremlins.
Oh, Gremlins.
You know, Gremlins.
That's a classic horror.
That's a classic.
And, of course, one of the all-time greatest, Goonies.
The Goonies. The Goonies is another classic 80s up there with The Last Starfighter.
Yes.
As it feels like it's part of the 80s.
Goonies is like one of those you can at least watch once, maybe twice a year.
The Back to the Future films began in the 80s. We had the first one, 85. The third one didn't come out until like 1990, I believe, or 91.
Best time traveling movies of all time.
Blade Runner. The classic film. Another one of my, probably if I had to take top five films that aren't sci-fi genre or aren't Indiana Jones, is The Princess Bride, one of my all-time favorite films, one of my most quotable films. My name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
I would have to take one of mine would be Transformers.
The animated movie?
Yes.
Which is fixing to come out on its 30th anniversary Blu-ray in about 3 weeks. I can't wait to see that in high def. I'm definitely buying that.
You said it was
the
Asian version, right?
Well, apparently they used the remasters from the Japanese Laserdisc, and
that's
remastered
what I'm saying,
it again. Poltergeist. Another classic horror films. And Matt, when it comes to Arnold, you're leaving off the role that almost made him a star until he made Terminator. Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, yeah, Conan the Barbarian.
Which, apparently, they're going to start filming King Conan very soon.
When did one of my favorite sci-fis come out, Close Encounters?
79. I know that for Close Encounters, yeah.
Barely, almost, basically 80s. Let's say basically 80s.
The Road Warrior?
Yes.
One of my all-time favorite action films ever.
Yeah, Mad Max.
We got introduced to John McClane in the 80s, Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
more
original
classics.
Die Hard film. And Beverly Hills Cop.
Banana in the Tailpot.
And we talked earlier in the show about Jokers and Batman. The original Batman was 1989. You know, another film, along with Robocop and Predator. You know, two other classic films.
Alien.
I mentioned Naylor.
Oh, yeah,
Jim Henson's Labyrinth, which
I love Labyrinth.
Celebrating his 30th anniversary.
Dark Crystal.
That should have been right around
all then. Jim Henson.
Yeah. The original Evil Dead.
Oh, yes.
And Evil Dead 2.
All that green.
Another all-time top 10 sci-fi film, Escape from New York.
Oh, yeah.
Escape. You know, which gave us Snake Plissken and, you know, Kurt Russell in a great role in that. And Beetlejuice, one of Michael Keaton's more popular roles of Tim Burton films.
Beetlejuice. I'm not going to go for the third one.
Yeah.
Well, let's not have Beetlejuice show up. So, you know, the 80s was a good time for film, I think, you know. We had Stranger Things and all that, and which is bringing back 80s nostalgia. And the 80s had some really good movies in it, too. I just didn't like the music in the 80s.
No?
Leave new wave music in the 80s.
Well, man, what about from like, Beverly Hills Cop?
Okay. Frank just had to go one step too far. So... So, you think, I wonder if Stranger Things and the popular of the 80s, can you hit him now? Will bring back a wave of nostalgia from the 80s. I mean, or is that wave already here?
I think it
depends on where they go.
I think it
kind
of snuck up on us. I think, you know, 80s is that guy. That's, you know, at the movie theater with his girlfriend, and he's slowly sneaking his hand up that leg, and it's getting closer and closer, and you look back, and you're like, whoa, that leg was by the knee, now it's all the way into the inner thigh. What's going on here? And he's full-on up your blouse and grabbing at you. That's what the 80s is. It's here, baby, and it's fondling the crap out of you.
So basically, it's that third base already on us?
It's already at third base. Rounded second, it's on its way to third.
I think that just totally answered the question about if the 80s is already coming back or already here.
Yep.
So, well, I mean, it's dude Frank's got going today. His hair over here looks like Brohammer 80s style.
I didn't put nothing in it, so it's just kind of doing its own thing.
Brohammer 8. I didn't put anything in mine either. Mine's starting to levitate.
Yeah. My hair is naturally curly, so the longer it gets,
dude,
the
more... We don't want to hear about your hair everywhere. On the show.
Upstairs or downstairs? Mine's both. Naturally curly downstairs.
Both.
No. Oh, and we're losing the show at the end of it.
I mean, whenever it grows out.
Curtains are long, but we got linoleum going on.
Linoleum?
Wow. So, any other 80s things that Frank, you're a little bit, you're the old guy in the group. Anything else from the 80s you remember that you want to see maybe come back, or maybe, I know they're talking about doing another Halloween remake.
The Pet Rock?
Or the Rabbit's Foot.
Yeah, the Rabbit's Foot.
I want old school hip hop to come back without any gangster crap.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about smoking weed or shooting a gun or pimping.
Don't Sleep Till Brooklyn.
You know, I want the Beastie Boys, Ron DMC, old school stuff.
Here's a good question. If there's an 80s film that you could remake that hasn't been remade yet, what would it be?
Ooh.
Dude, why don't you just shoot me in the head? I got so many. My head's just like, oh my gosh, where do I even begin?
Remake Terminator with J.J. Watt.
No.
Yes.
No.
I think you need to reboot Terminator at this point, but not remake it.
But he's got to tackle Sarah Connor. Yeah.
No.
He's got to tackle Linda Hamilton.
I can't think of one that I really want to see remade off the top of my bat. The NeverEnding Story, maybe. I'd like to see it really done like the book.
Yeah, that one I was thinking.
Okay. I think that would be a good one.
Yeah.
That's probably the only one I can think of. I wouldn't mind a proper NeverEnding Story made.
That's the thing. One of the reasons why I love that movie is because I'm old school puppet person. And stuff nowadays I just see them CGI.
What if you do the NeverEnding Story though, and you do like J.J. Abrams did with Star Wars, where you use a lot of practical effects along with some CGI?
I would be okay with.
If you get a director who understands that and does, you know,
that I would be
some
okay
of that work.
With.
You know, I think that would be cool. But yeah, other than that, there's not a whole lot.
Yeah, they've already remade Clash of the Titans. That wasn't.
No, it was okay, but not.
Just Sam Worthington was on a high. You know, everyone was high on Sam Worthington.
Yeah. I didn't hate the Clash remake, but
no,
it wasn't.
I didn't either, but it wasn't.
The sequel wasn't as good.
It had Liam Neeson.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Hey, yeah, oh, perfect in every what game. About the rumors that Marvel wants Liam Neeson for Deadpool 2 as Cable?
Really?
Oh, that would be
awesome.
That's
been the rumors that Marvel is courting Liam Neeson for Cable.
Do it.
I could see Liam as Cable. I'm down for that. You know.
What, yeah. What about...
Or not Marvel, you know, Studios, I should say Fox.
What about
Fox.
Big Sexy as Cable?
That's already been hinted. Hey, he can play the role. I think he has the look.
He has the look.
Does he have the acting
chops?
That's
why I was going to say, you need someone who... I want an actor in the role, not a wrestler who thinks he can act. I think guys like Nash are good for certain roles where they take...
And strip, and that's it, what Mark
or,
likes him
no,
as.
Or where they just take a supporting role where they don't have to do a lot, but Cable's obviously going to be a main character in the sequel. I want someone who can act.
Yeah. You know?
And I like that idea, though. Liam Neeson as Cable.
Liam can act. I don't think he has much of the look as, you know...
And
Kevin Nash.
He's serious.
I'm not worried about the look. They can make people look like anything now in movies.
You need a guy that's like stone cold serious next to Deadpool to kind of like bring out how off the wall Deadpool really is.
Well, and that's what I was thinking too. Like Liam Neeson has that acting abilities where he can play the straight man when Deadpool's making these jokes and can look at him like, what?
Well,
you know,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
and give him that look of like... Where
what's
you'll laugh at him.
You? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Liam Neeson has that ability.
Basically, he's playing the straight guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
He's the straight line, and Deadpool's the one that's like... Ooh.
I'm just excited they're going to bring Cable to the big screen. Ever since they started making X-Men films, I've wanted Cable on the big screen.
Yeah, that'd be
and
awesome.
And to see him in a film will be really cool. And I hope it stretches out into further X-Men films. I don't want to just see Cable be one and done. I want to see Cable do some stuff in the films.
Yeah.
And so... That's all I've got today. Isn't that slow news time lately, you know?
Yeah, we had to kind of wait for news to pile up.
Yeah,
so
August is always slow.
You know.
Or at least
know.
Come up with the topic that we cared to talk about.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't nothing else to talk about.
So watch Stranger Things if you haven't seen it on Netflix. Good, fun show. Matt, you need to watch it. Get caught up on it.
That, and
there's
I have
a lot of crap
watch...
that Matt needs to watch that he just doesn't.
Luke, and The Last Starfighter.
Luke Cage in a couple weeks, September 10th. It'll be on Netflix. So
heck
not
yeah.
too long. Or 9th or 10th, somewhere around there. It'll premiere on Netflix.
Have you ever finished Jessica Jones?
I have 2 episodes left.
Oh, my God.
Maybe only 1. I can't remember.
Oh.
We'll get into it eventually.
I'm going to spoil it for you.
Nah, I'm almost done with it now. So, Rebel Radio Podcast, make sure you go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com for all your needs. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff for all the latest updates. And this has been...
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
It's your host, Mark. Thanks for listening.
And don't put a banana in your tailpipe.
Hey, headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.